The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, the Galway Comedy Festival, as you well know, kicking off tomorrow with a host, as always, of the finest comedians from around the world, descending on the city of the tribe, amongst them, Russell Howard. Russell, a real, real pleasure, and thanks a million for joining us. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm looking forward to descending. What a great way of describing.
Yeah.
Rocking up. I love that.
It sounds like you're kind of, you're coming down from some sort of kind of flying saucer or something.
Yeah, yeah. But no, alas, I'll be traveling in a car.
Yeah, a budget airline and a rental car. It's almost as good as a flying saucer.
It's all right. I actually went to an alien abductee survival club in America? Yes, it was. And I met 17 people that had been abducted by aliens. One of the best days of my life, really, meeting people. One lady had given birth to 68 alien babies, and some were green, some were blue. It was a terrific day.
And was there a commonality of experience amongst all these abductees, or had they all completely unique stories?
It was a real range. There was, and I love the fact we're talking about this, but one of them had given birth to all the babies. One of them had repeatedly been taken to school, which must be an absolute ball ache if you didn't enjoy education and now you're getting dragged back. Many of them had been probed. One of them had been, they're obsessed with their hair. The guy that really fascinated me, he said to me, he went, "I've never been abducted by an alien. I would just really like to be." And he basically used to just like hang out in his garden trying to make himself look desirable.
Oh God. How does one do that?
What one only knows. But when I think about him often, whenever you think your life isn't going as you'd expect, just picture that poor bloke in his garden trying to make himself look pleasant. But it's a bit like he struck me as a bit like, you know, when you go to like a buffet in like a hotel, and the eggs all look a bit manky. It's almost like he was trying to make himself look like presentable eggs to us, the aliens.
Oh, God. It must be awful to be that person, you know, to be someone else's. Things could be worse. I could be that guy.
Yeah, but you always need somebody like that in life.
Do you
know what I mean? As sad as it is. And the great thing is he'll be looking down on somebody else. Do you know what I mean? The trick is never to meet the person right at the bottom. And it could be you. Maybe it goes full circle and you realize that he was thinking, imagine going from place to place, living vicariously through others, and the only way that you can survive is by getting laughter. What a terrible way to exist.
Yeah, possibly. Listen, I know we should be talking about Galway, and GalwayComedyFestival.com is where people can get their hands on the last few remaining tickets. But I was very excited you were coming on because I love the podcast. I love Wonderbox. Do you still get as much crack out of doing it?
Yeah, I really like it. It's kind of it's just a really good kind of framework for having a chat. So if you get people to talk about the five brilliant things, then they kind of rack their brains for what are the things I adore in life. And then as a consequence, you kind of get this really, I don't know, like little positive Valhalla where people are just describing all the things they adore in life. And then the conversation gets kind of deep because you give away a lot of yourself when you're talking about things you love, you know, because you really have to sit and think, okay, what is it that makes existence for me? And then it sort of becomes quite a profound chat or quite a silly chat or whatever, but it feels like you're not getting this sort of the run-of-the-mill anecdotes, do you know what I mean? Where you kind of go, so what happens to you on set? And then it's kind of a fairly tedious story about what happens on set. You know, it's kind of like, oh, I really love Ferrero Rocher, and let me tell you why. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of that.
Yeah, I often wonder, listening though, I mean, do you often have to shoot down people's suggestions and say, oh no, sorry, like that... You know, Ferrero Rocher was, a Stephen Merchant's thing, you know, that it can't be yours as well. You have to come up with some other confectionery.
Well, it's really fascinating, actually, because I think we've had three people say Japanese toilets. So, and we've let them all in because it isn't my place to suddenly say, well, you can't have that. So no, it can be the same. And people bring their own experience from it. For each thing, so What would yours be? What would one of the things you adore in life?
One of the things that I adore most in life is, oh God, you can't say your children. That's awful because, you know, they annoy me more than anything, actually, if I'm being brutally honest about it. One of the things I adore, oh, this is terrible, is my dog. And I fought tooth and nail not to have one. And I gave out yards about other people, these dog people, these awful dog people who treat their dogs as people. And Russell, I've slowly morphed into one over the last 12 months. It's kind of a tragedy, actually.
Yeah, but dogs are great. They're phenomenal. You know what I mean? They're just what it. I tell you what, the relationship between me and my dad would be so much easier if he had a tail, because I know that my dog loves me. Whereas if there was a tail, you'd be like, oh, come on, Dad, you can give it out, but look at your tail waggling away. Oh. And they're so loyal. They're so wonderfully loyal. Like, you never see cats with homeless people, you know, whereas a dog will stick thick and thin with anybody.
Oh, there's that feeling, you know, when you come home and the dog, because the love is unconditional, they don't care what's happened in work. They don't care if they're just so they're just so ecstatic to see you.
Absolutely. Irrespective of, like, my Auntie Sue puts Michael Bublé on when she leaves for work at like 8 o'clock and gets back at 5. So this poor dog has nothing but Michael Bublé. That's how they break people at Guantanamo Bay. And yet, when I sort of said, well, why did you put that? And he likes sort of soft music, does he? Right, he's got a variety of doors. But yeah, whenever he comes in, happy as hell to see her, despite the fact that she's pretty much trying to psychologically break him.
I wonder the popularity of it, of the podcast. I mean, is it born partly out of, you know what, it's born partly out of your personality, Russell, of course, and you're a great comedic talent and all the great guests, but is it born as well out of the kind of the misery cycle that people get trapped in terms of news and social media as well, to a degree?
Yeah, maybe. I spent, you know, 15 years and still do, you know, writing jokes about the news. But after a while, it is, I mean, particularly towards the end of, you know, Good News, it became that thing about, right, let's write some jokes about Brexit again, or let's write jokes about Trump again. So I kind of like the idea of trying to make this oasis that was kind of positive and fun. So maybe it is that. Maybe people come just because it's a bit of respite from life, and you can kind of luxuriate in other people's likes, I guess. A bit like, do you ever see that thing In Praise Of in The Guardian?
Yes.
There's something quite pleasant about somebody. It takes a lot of courage to say, I really like the music of Phil Collins, and here is why. And when you listen to somebody really describe it in that way, you can't, or I find it very difficult to shoot them down. I love kind of sort of getting vicarious knowledge of someone. Do you know, like, pretty good point. We had Giovanna Fletcher on the other day, and she was talking about silent discos, and I'm not a fan of them, but she spoke about it with such love and fondness, with so many funny stories, that sometimes it's people convincing me as well. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I love it. It's really good fun, and it's always kind of improvised, and it keeps your mind nice and fresh. So it's just a nice way of meeting people and having a forced chat where you're going, tell me what you love, and then we kind of have fun about it.
But isn't it, it's so engaging. And again, this is kind of little like how the sausage is made in terms of radio. But sometimes it doesn't matter what people are talking about. If they're enthusiastic and energetic about what they're talking about, it's that enthusiasm is infectious.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, I really like it when people share their intelligence, whether it's actual or emotional. It's, you know, when you sort of spend time, Billy Connolly's a great example. Like, I interviewed him once, and it's like being near a fire for your soul, you know. And it's whenever you spend time with people that are willing to dispense their wisdom, and not in a kind of, let me tell you a thing that I've learned about the world, but, you know, when you just, you feel like you're getting cleverer, or you feel like the funny is coming over you. I think that's what the podcast can do. I think most podcasts, and spending time with most comedians, you're happy to be in the hang. And a really great podcast feels like you're in the pub next, overhearing a conversation of two people you'd like to overhear. You don't want to be in the conversation, but you want to hear every word. Do you know what I mean?
It's like,
they shouldn't be called podcasts. They should be called earwigs. That's what they are at their finest. We're just earwigging, you know?
That is a nice way of describing it. Like I said, we should be talking about the Galway Comedy Festival, I guess, kicking off. And it is GalwayComedyFestival.com if people want to get their hands on the last few tickets. So, I mean, you know, when we talk about, say, the podcast and then, as you say, kind of this has been the bread and butter is kind of writing jokes about what's going on in the world. What's the balance now? Like, how much of this is kind of the main body of work, you know, going to shows and doing gigs?
Oh, the majority of it, really. I did the UK tour last year, and I've done some, just got back from Canada, and I did 3 weeks there, and then I was in Scandinavia last weekend. So I'm kind of in the process of like growing a new show over the old one before, like I've got a special that comes out in January, I think. So I've kind of, I've had my first son and the world keeps getting stranger and I've been traveling loads. So it's pretty phenomenal being a comedian. There's lots going on. Do you know what I mean? I've often said, particularly when you're writing jokes about the news, it feels like you're trying to make a sculpture out of feces and the world won't stop defecating. That's what it kind of feels like. It's so lovely to have a son.
That's a beautiful, beautiful metaphor assume has been influenced by the fact that you now have a small creature in your lives that just produces feces and it seems nothing else.
Yeah, well, this is it. So not only do I have, you know, metaphorical feces, I'm now got it at home. It's always about following your nose, I think, as a comedian. I imagine a lot of comics feel the same, that you're kind of, it's what you're interested in and what is right in front of you. And it becomes this kind of lovely blend. And you just get to take it on stage and there's no kind of entertainment through committee. It's such a kind of pure art form. That sounds very lofty, but I kind of, once you've done TV for so long and there's so many kind of opinions and everyone has their producers and then things come in, you kind of, Seinfeld basically described it as making a TV show is like, you know, trying to pilot a plane and doing stand-up feels like you're surfing. Do you know what I mean? You just feel the laughs yourself and you have an idea and you can correct it in such a small way. And that's why I love traveling and doing stand-up is the best. And I can bring my wife and son now. So it's even better, really, because she's off.
If you like the sound of Russell surfing or indeed Russell chiseling sculptures out of feces, the Galway
what a way of putting it.
Festival tomorrow kicks off. GalwayComedyFestival.com. Russell Howard, it has been a real pleasure. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.